Monday, July the 31st, 2006. This is Tips from the Top Floor, show number 144.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
Why does 35mm film have an image format of 24x36mm? How come that on some pictures the sky just looks so stunning? And how can I easily leave an audio greeting for the 150th show without even calling a phone number? Learn all about this and more on today's show.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome. My name is Chris Marquardt and you are listening to Tips from the Top Floor, the podcast about all things digital photography. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. What's on the news today? Oh yeah, the Podcast Awards. On behalf of all the podcasters, I'd like to thank you all for going out to vote. It's 11 more days to go and each vote counts, and daily voting is, of course, highly encouraged. Thank you. And we're yet another step closer to the 150th show, and I'm still looking for audio comments. And usually I tell you the voicemail numbers here. That's 206-202-3757 for the United States, or plus 44-7005-805-742 for the UK. But today it's different, because I've just installed something on the Tips from the Top Floor homepage. It's called My Chingo. It's a little flash applet kind of thing where you can record a voicemail greeting right on the homepage of Tips from the Top Floor. I think all you need is a microphone hooked up to your computer and you should be ready to go. I've seen other podcasters use it quite successfully, and I hope it'll work for you. And you can leave messages up to 2 minutes right there on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. But now let's see what's on today's show. Here's the useless fact of the day. On the forum, I was asked why standard camera film is called 35mm film, whereas the actual image size is 24x36mm. Well, let's fire up our time machine and travel back to 1889 and have a look at what was going on in the labs of Thomas Alva Edison. Back then, Edison had just invented the kinetoscope, a peep show-like device to show films, and with it, the kinetograph to record the images for it. Legend has it that when Edison was asked by his employees how wide to cut the film, which by the way was produced by the Eastman Company, he held up his thumb and forefinger and said about this wide. Well, it's more likely, though, that he used the readily available 70mm Eastman roll film and simply sliced it in half, ending up with 35mm. In order to allow for precision transport of the film, he added perforation holes to the film, which left about 24mm of space for the image. And for the image height, he decided on 18mm, ending up with a 4x3 aspect ratio. And each image ended up with 4 perforation holes on either side. But that is just part of the story. The father of the 24x36mm negative format as we know it today is Oskar Barnack, who in 1913 developed the first prototype of a still camera for the movie business that could work with a regular 35mm film. The camera was called the Urleica, or Urleica in German. Barnack had the insight to keep the existing film but double the 18x24mm film format to produce sharper negatives. So it's actually him who we have to thank for the 24x36mm film format that is still in use today. So in the end, Both numbers are correct. The 35 millimeters are the actual width of the film material, but the picture format is 24 by 36 millimeters. And this nicely fits in between the perforation on both sides. And next time you see a strip of negative or slide film, take a closer look and count the holes next to each image. Because when Banach doubled the size of the image frame in 1913, he also doubled the amount of holes, which has been 8 holes on both sides of each picture ever since. Yeah, that was another useless fact of the day. I hope it's not totally useless for you though, but I kind of like this sort of information. It's fun to research it, and with all the great helpers, this one I researched myself, but yeah, usually it's the science pixie and the research pixie, and it's coming together so nicely here. But now let's jump right into today's topic. Nigel Midwinter, one of the first listeners of Tips from the Top Floor, just sent me an email today asking how I got those beautiful skies into some of my pictures. Well, it's not as hard as it seems. Here are a few tips on how you can get those dramatic skies in your pictures. But what is a dramatic sky? Well, there are a few things that make skies look more dramatic than they usually are, and most of it has to do with the saturation of the blue tones. So first and most important, you need to understand that you can't just magically turn a dull sky into a stunning one. You need something that looks good to begin with. So if it's an overcast day and there's no sun and no blue visible in the sky, you might be out of luck. But then when the mixture is right with bright sunlight and some beautiful clouds, that's where things start to become interesting. The second thing is that many cameras on their automatic setting tend to expose the foreground correctly, but then the sky turns out to be overexposed. That's because, especially during days with bright direct sunlight, the dynamic range of such an image tends to be huge, and in order to get some good detail in the foreground, the camera simply has to overexpose the sky. And as we learned in previous shows, overexposure kills the detail in a picture. Overexposed areas in an image cannot be recovered. What's bright white stays bright white, no matter how much you play with it. If you shoot raw, you might have a bit more leeway though, because it'll usually allow you to compensate for a stop or two of overexposure. So what do you do in order to prevent the sky from getting overexposed? Well, the easiest way is to dial in some negative exposure compensation. That will bring the whole picture down until the sky is well exposed. And this will make the foreground darker. But it's easier to bring that part of the image up again in post-processing than trying to save a blown-out sky. The third thing you can do to get a good exposure is to try to minimize the brightness difference between the sky and the foreground. And as you cannot simply light the whole foreground, the solution lies in bringing down the brightness of the sky. And this can be done two ways. First, try to shoot a right angle to the sun, which means keep the sun left or right of you. The blue sky in that direction will be darker than the sky towards the sun or with the sun in your back. If that's not enough, try using a polarizer. The polarizer will help you bring down the sky to a level that's easier to cope with for the camera, and it'll help you avoid overexposure. And last but not least, there is the post-processing, which can help you too. First of all, you can brighten up a foreground that came out too dark because you had to exposure compensate, and then, and that is a mean trick, but it can work wonders. Some software, such as Photoshop CS2, lets you select a color range in your picture by clicking on the image with an eyedropper. Try clicking on a blue portion of well-exposed sky when you select the color, and then add a curves layer that uses this selection as a mask. Now this will allow you to play with the blue tones in the sky only and bring them down to get a beautiful dark blue saturated sky. And one of the other things that will help you make your skies pop is the sharpening that you apply after resizing the image for its destination format. Play around with Unsharp Mask and check back to show number 4, number 88, and of course Photoshop Corner number 4, where you can learn much more about the topic of sharpening. And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor show number 144. Thanks for tuning in, thanks for downloading the show, and thank you for being subscribed. I try to figure it out, but you're all about, you make me wanna shout. Yeah, the Podcast Awards are still open for voting. Go to podcastawards.com and vote for your favorite podcasts. It's still 11 days to go and each vote counts. And I'm still looking for material for the show number 150, and you can leave your voicemail comments as usual on 206-202-3757, that's in the United States, or in the UK it's +44 7005 805 742. And on the homepage you can directly record your comment using the MyChingo applet. It's on the right hand side, you have to scroll down a bit, and you can leave messages up to 2 minutes right there on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the Top Floor Productions headquarters in Tübingen, Southern Germany. Talk to you again soon, and happy shooting. I make you understand that I'm still a man. I remember that I told you there'd be sunshine after rain, and I told you there'd be laughter after pain. I remember that you said it ain't as easy as it seems. Makes it easier to leave it all behind. Don't matter where you go. Oh, and shh, don't forget to vote. PodcastAwards.com.